Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
And good morning, and as promised, Kitnet Wall, Sam Bauer have returned to help you out with your lawn and garden questions. And we, as I said last week, guys, I mean it, lawn and garden questions. Sam Bauer is the turf expert from the University of Minnesota Extension. And Kate, who's been with us a number of times before, is a master gardener. Good morning, guys. Nice to see you again.
Doesn't look very gardening friendly out there.
No, but I tell you, looking at that forecast, I have a feeling that we'll be seeing some lawns by the end of the week.
Yeah, I think so.
52 the high maybe on Friday, yeah, Saturday. Yeah. So we'll see. There's a little snow to melt yet, but right.
It will be most welcome at this point. Well,
and there's lots we can think about coming up soon.
Well, you as a master gardener, I mean, just the gardeners themselves, our listeners who are, and there are many, who can't wait.
That's
to
right.
Get out there.
We're an optimistic bunch. We're always thinking about what's going to come next.
That's right. Well, we mentioned the Master Gardener program and off air a bit ago. I mentioned that there seems to be a lot of interest since doing the show, excuse me, for years, that I think a lot of people have an interest in maybe not necessarily becoming a Master Gardener, but certainly knowing more about it.
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about that while we welcome calls and text messages. What do you say?
Right. Well, great. The Master Gardener program is affiliated with the University of Minnesota, and it's a program for training volunteers to share the research-based information on horticulture with the community at large. And the program has a number of different objectives that we teach towards, including improving horticultural skills, sharing information about plant biodiversity, certainly information on pollinators. That's become such a hot topic these days. Increasing access to local food and teaching people about how to grow food. And certainly to provide information on climate change and what we can do to work with what's changing in our environment, the increase of invasive species, whether it be plants or little critters, bugs.
It sounds like it's a real all-encompassing program, really.
Right. It is. There's room for all different individuals to participate because there's so many different topics that we touch on.
Uh-huh. And there's even a lawn care portion of the training.
Is there
and
really? Well, that's good to know.
Absolutely.
And we have a couple hundred new Master Gardener volunteers every year, and they get trained through what we call the core course at the Arboretum. And a lot of the educators like Julie and Mary Meyer and a lot of us are involved with that.
Yeah, that's neat. And that's for those that have never been to the Arboretum. I mean, what a great resource that alone is there.
That's right.
Phenomenal.
That's right. Yeah, and the pancake breakfast is next weekend.
Aha! And it should be a nice one. As I said, I'm looking at the forecast. If that's true, by Friday, sunny and near 52, so not bad.
Sounds nice.
651-989-9226. If you have a lawn or garden question, now is your chance. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. I tell you what, guys, let's go to the phones. Karen has been calling, is calling from St. Francis, I believe. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
We have an oak tree that's maybe 10, 12 inches diameter. We just like to cut it down. It's in a spot by the drain field. It shouldn't be there, and it provides shade where it shouldn't. We want to get it down, but it doesn't, I don't think it's disease, but I don't want to cause any diseases in the neighborhood or whatever. Can we cut it down still? And do we need to, like, get that stump out of there, or not sure?
Yeah. It is actually a safe time to cut or trim any oak trees right now. And it's because things are frozen. There's not any bugs that are going to help spread the disease. So now is a good time to do that. And the stump, if it's in the drain field, you're just going to want to approach that with some caution.
Yeah, and depending on what you want to replace that area with, you know, you would usually want to grind that stump down and replace with topsoil, and certainly want to get the wood chips out of there if you're planning on growing any lawn or anything like that after, because the wood chips in the soil are really don't allow grass to grow very well.
Yeah, I've had that done in my yard, and I after the stump has been ground, you try to get as much, if not all of it. There's some that's going to be left over there, but it took some doing to get that grass to grow again.
Yeah, with the wood chips, they're not decomposed, so they want to decompose when they're in your soil, and they take oxygen and nitrogen.
That's
a lot of
why.
Things to decompose. Yeah, so.
Sam, a texter asked a question, and again, given our above-freezing temperatures, is the ground still frozen? I presume it is, or what do you think?
The ground is still frozen, uh-huh. Yep, still frost in the ground, and it will be...
People are anxious.
I'm anxious as well. I'm more anxious. I'm as anxious as any of them, right? This is what I do, so yep, I'm ready to get going, but we're well with a month away or so, I'm sure.
Texter wants to know, is there... any salt or salt substitute you can use on ice dams that won't kill the lawn? Ice dams.
I think it's a good question. I think some of the magnesium chlorides are safer than the standard.
That's what I've heard too.
Yeah, sodium chloride. Yeah. So that would be something to look at there. There's certainly going to be information online on that of what would.
Read the label too.
Absolutely, read the label. Yep, you bet. But generally, salts and grass do not play well together. But the magnesium chloride would be my suggestion.
Well, we see it and we laugh about it every week. We wait to see any Creeping Charlie questions. One just came in. How to get rid of Creeping Charlie permanently. Is it possible? It is possible, right?
I think it is. Like we always talk about, Creeping Charlie is really an opportunist species. So it does really well in heavy shade and wet type of environments. So, that's the assumption that we usually make is Creeping Charlie is going to be growing in these areas. So, a few options you have if it's really not a hospitable environment for grasses, you would want to give up and put mulch there and some hostas or pachysandra, something like that maybe. If it's practical to prune some of the trees to improve the sunlight penetration or aerate the lawn to reduce some of that surface moisture, and then I would go with some really shade-tolerant grass species in that area. But, depending on how much Creeping Charlie you have, if it's 30 or 40%, I would start over and just renovate the area completely versus, trying to find something that won't harm the grass, for example. If there isn't much grass to save, then usually I think your time and money are best spent just starting over.
Square one. Back to square one.
Square one.
If you're just joining us, thank you for doing so. Kate Netwall is in studio. She is a master gardener. Sam Bauer is the turf management expert at the University of Minnesota. He's our turf guru. So if you have any kind of gardening question or lawn question, now's your chance. Call us or text us today. I see one line is open, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. They're coming in pretty quickly, too. But you know what? Alice in Lindstrom, beautiful Lindstrom, calling in this morning. Hi, Alice.
Hi, and it's good to hear from the Master Gardeners every week.
Yes.
I've been a gardener for over 60 years.
And you started at 5 years old. That's amazing.
2 years old.
Oh, 2 years old. Okay.
And I'm still learning things, and that's wonderful. But my question is, I received a little wicker basket on Valentine's Day with the bulbs in it, and they come up periodically, and that's wonderful and very fragrant. And now they're, of course, dead. And I'd like to know if I can save those bulbs to plant out now in the spring, or is it just done for the rest of their life?
Do you know what kind of bulbs they are? Is it like narcissus or hyacinth? You said fragrant.
They are the same plus tulips.
Ah, oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you can try to save those bulbs. What happens is if you let the foliage die down, it's actually, you know, feeding the bulb, and you can try to salvage those bulbs, clean them off, put them in a dry paper bag, and store them in a dry, cool place, and then the time to plant them would be in the fall for them to come up the following spring, so it'd be spring 2019. I'm not sure how viable the bulbs are from a basket like that, if that's you're really going to have 100% success, but it's worth trying since you have the bulbs.
Okay, very good. You know, we need to take a quick break. We have more show to come here on our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our good friends at By the Yard Outdoor Furniture. We'll talk about those good folks coming up. In the Twin Cities, overcast, CCO temperature reading now at 26. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Denny Long in studio with Kate Netwall, Master Gardener, and Sam Bauer, our turf. Well, he knows his trees, too, but he's the turf expert here on CCO. You guys actually kind of know a lot about a lot of things outdoors, don't you, as far as gardening?
Well, we know some, but we know where to get more information if we don't know
it
all.
True. That's right. You have good, we know the right people.
You surround yourself with good people, for sure. Well, we have callers, as you can see. We have texters as well. Let's see how many folks we can help out here. Randy's calling from Champlin with a question. Hi, Randy.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
So I had a question about gardening. I am a first-year gardener. I just had my first year of gardening last year. I'm trying to get into pickling and food preservation. I put a 6x8 garden in my backyard in the back corner. It gets about maybe 4 to 5 hours of sun, and then the rest of the day is shade due to an overgrown tree in my neighbor's yard. I tried to grow cucumbers, and I grew them, I think, in last part of April is when I put the seeds down. And when they came up, the fruit of the plant looked like gourds. So the base of the plant swelled up with the water intake, and then towards the end of the actual cucumber, it was very skinny. So I had a gourd-looking cucumber, and I was wondering what can cause that. I've been told by a few people before that this can be caused by planting the plants or the seeds a little bit too late in the year. So I was just trying to get some insight on that.
Yeah. Well, good for you for starting your gardens. You know, it's a great hobby, and it's great to grow your own food, especially if you want to pickle. I think what concerns me most about your question is that your garden is only getting 4 to 5 hours of sun. The plants that you're trying to grow would probably appreciate a lot more, 6 to 8, if you can get it. Now, the tree is your neighbor's tree, so you can't do much about that. But if there's anything else you can do to move it to the sunniest part of your garden, that would be helpful. The other thing you can do is make sure that your moisture is consistent. You know, so if we're getting some heavy rainfalls, that you might think that for a lawn that's enough for like a week, but with your vegetable garden, you want to continue to give it water throughout the week.
All right, very good. Thank you, and congratulations. First year, full year of gardening. That's great. And are men, is there as many men that look at the Master Gardener program as women, or what's the ratio, would you say?
Oh, that's a good question, Denny. To answer it, there are not as many men in the Master Gardener program. I don't know what the ratio is, Kate. Maybe you have a better handle on that. But it feels like almost 9 to 1, I suppose.
Oh, really? Okay.
Actually, you know, we are starting to get more men and a lot more younger individuals joining the program.
That's good news. Mm-hmm. Texter says geranium needs to be repotted into a bigger pot. Will it work to trim top down, cut some roots, then put it back in the same pot?
You know, if it really needs to be in a bigger pot, it's the roots that need that bigger space to grow. So I'd certainly see if you can't go up one size pot and definitely trim some of the branches off the top to the next leaf node.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Nate is calling from Mankato. Nate, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Yes, a very good morning to you, sir. I lost a number of trees because of flooding a couple years ago. They're going to have to be cut down. The question being, with the stumps, I don't want to have a project that's invasive to the lawn with big equipment or whatever to grind the stumps down. Are there chemicals over the counter that a person can apply to the stumps to make them decompose faster, or just take the stumps down to basic ground level without doing damage to the surrounding lawn?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. Yeah, thanks for the question, Nate. So there are chemicals that exist. To be honest with you, I don't know much about them, and either way, I wouldn't think that'd be a very viable option for you. You know, we would prefer to grind the stump and get that organic material out of there. In most cases, you know, if you feel like you can grow grass around the stump, if you're able to cut it flush to the ground, that might work, because you can actually, you know, with a good chainsaw operator, you can get it pretty low. The only thing to be concerned with going forward is, you know, as the stump starts to decay in your lawn, you're going to get mushrooms and things like that. So it might take some time before it blends in with the rest of the lawn, I would think.
Mm-hmm. All right, tell you what, let's talk to Lynn. I think he's in Farmington with a question. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Denny. Say, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple quick questions. I got some lilac bushes, probably 6 to 8 years old in the backyard along the fence line. Beautiful, but they're getting a little out of control. So I want to prune those back. I'm wondering what's the best time of year to do that, if I can do it in the spring. My wife says wait till they're blooming. So I'd like to disagree, but I really can't disagree. And then the other quick question is, I got some silver maples in the front lawn, and they're very large, but the root system is starting to punch through the lawn. So I'm wondering how to address that, if I can fix that. I've heard that there's really not much you can do. So that's what I got. Thank you very much.
All right, Lynn.
Yeah, we can tackle the silver maple question first, and I think you're on the right page there. There's not a whole lot you can do. You know, if you were to take soil in, for example, and kind of cover the tree roots with it and try to plant some grass there, the tree roots would just continue to keep coming up. So that's one of those issues with the silver maples is the surface roots there. You know, I suppose if you have some really annoying one to get rid of, you know, you could probably cut some of those out of there, but I would not do too much work in that regard.
What about mulching around a tree that's through? Is that good, or could that harm the roots?
Mulching is actually really good for the trees,
okay.
and it helps keep the lawnmowers away from the roots that
yeah.
would otherwise damage the trees. So
yeah. Okay. So and then as far as the pruning the lilacs,
You know, I hate to tell you, but you're going to want to wait for those trees to bloom out, the lilacs, and enjoy the fragrance for them. Once they're done blooming, that's the ideal time to prune. Take about a third away, and then you're also going to want to look at removing some of the older stems in the center, and that'll help bring up new stems.
All right, very good. We need to take our usual break at this time. We have another half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. There's a line open, 651-989-9226. If you have a lawn or garden question, this is your time. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. We'll pick up on some text messages when we return. Overcast, 26 degrees weather coming up.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Smart Garden Show. In studio, Kate Netwall, Master Gardener, and Sam Bauer, our turf expert here from the University of Minnesota. Welcoming your questions by phone and by text, as usual, and we have a bunch of both, so let's get to it. Let's see who's been waiting. Sandy is calling from Buffalo with a question. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Hey, just a quick question. I just heard about the lilacs and when to trim those back. I actually have a full line of hydrangeas on the east side of my house, and they, too, have become really overgrown. So just wondering when's the best time to trim those back. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
Well, Sandy, now is a really good time, or actually, I'd wait maybe till next weekend when you're not having to battle the snow and you can see the form of the hydrangea bush a little bit better, and then that's a good time to start pruning. Try and prune down to where you find a leaf node.
Okay.
Sam, we should talk a little bit about that, because once the snow is gone, you shouldn't really walk on that lawn just yet, should you? What can happen?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question. I think, again, you know, we all get cooped up over the winter and we're all excited once the snow clears in the spring. I think oftentimes we can do more harm than good by trying to get out there too early. So, you know, the root systems are very fragile at that point in time, and the grass itself is fragile as well. So you certainly want to be sure that you wait till your lawn dries out before really conducting any activities out there.
Very good. Stanley's calling from Eden Prairie with a question. Stanley, good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm calling about the soisa grass. You see the advertisement for that frequently. How does that, you know, go for our country here?
Yeah, it's a great question, Stanley. So not good to answer the question. Zoysia grass is a warm season grass. I've actually spent quite a bit of time down in Florida maintaining some of it and overseas as well. It's a warm season grass, so it'll survive winters in Minnesota and Wisconsin, the Midwest here, but it's not green for more than 3 or 4 months. You know, I've definitely seen it as a weed in home lawns. I know they sell the plugs in your Sunday newspaper in some cases with the idea that it's an environmentally friendly, drought-tolerant type of grass, and it most certainly is. But I would say basically from Kentucky south is kind of where we're looking, you know, for the zoysia grass. It's only green from June to maybe September in Minnesota.
How do you spell that?
Z-O-Y-S-I-A, zoysia, I suppose.
You're correct. No, I had no idea. All right. Speaking of grass, let's see. I was going to ask why I already did that. Jody in Prior Lake is next up on the phone. Hi, Jody.
Good morning.
Morning. What can we do for you?
I have a question. I know you're talking about lawns and grasses, but I have a question about houseplants. And I have some type of infestation that's spreading on my houseplants, and I wondered if they could maybe answer a question about what I can do. It's a little brown, round dot that is growing on my spider plants, and now it's going to my hibiscus, but I've tried different things on it. Wondered if it kind of leaves a sticky residue on the plant. I don't see any bug or anything like that, but do you have any suggestions of what I might use?
Yeah, Jody, it sounds like you have scale growing on your plants, and there are some systemic treatments that you could put in the soil where it actually is brought up to the plant itself. But the best thing you can do is wash the leaves. It's probably on the underside of the leaves. And that sticky stuff you're seeing is the honeydew. It's the excrement from the little scale plant, and it gets sticky and kind of messy all over. But you can wash the underside of the leaves. Those little brown bumps you're seeing are actually that little scale critter.
Okay. Interesting. By the way, Smart Garden is brought to us by every week by our friends at By the Yard Outdoor Furniture. We thank them for that. Let's see. There's text messages. We have many. Let's get to them. I'd like to hang a large birdhouse in my black walnut tree, but I'm wondering if it's not a good idea to use nails. Would nails harm that black walnut tree, do you think?
Probably just a few wouldn't hurt, but eventually the nails will work themselves out. So maybe screwing it in if hanging's not an option for you.
Okay. Is it time, texture says, to start seeds for tomato and pepper plants? Any hints for how to raise them so they are not so tall and spindly?
It is a good time to start your peppers and tomatoes. By the end of the month is probably the ideal time for tomatoes. When you're starting them indoors, it's really helpful, especially with those plants, to have a heating mat or some heat source below them. And then to keep them from getting spindly, you want them as close to the lights as possible.
You know, as an earlier caller texter was wondering about getting rid of Creeping Charlie permanently. And Sam, you were talking about if the yard really is the majority needs to be redone. And the question is, what do you mean by starting over?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. So what I mean is, you know, again, looking at the percentage of Creeping Charlie that you have – you know, you have two options. Is one, try to kind of work it out of there and establish grass. And that's just a longer term process. And you're looking at several herbicide applications. Something with triclopyr in it is going to be the most effective for creeping Charlie. That would be like Weed Be Gone for clover, chickweed, and oxalis. That's the specific Weed Be Gone you're looking for. But what I mean by starting over is killing all of the vegetation there. And that would be glyphosate or Roundup. Or you could even use a plastic sheet, and we call that solarization, and that would kill all the vegetation as well. So I'm actually going to direct you to our website, turf.umn.edu, and on the sixth page there are a series of lawn conversion video series. There are seven videos that will help you through the whole process.
Yeah, we have to mention before you leave that website again, because it's a great resource. We'll do that. How do I get rid of, Texter says, mushrooms in the yard? They don't hurt anything, do they?
No, they really don't. The mushrooms are, you know, unsightly, kind of just a nuisance there. They're basically forming due to a couple different reasons. One is mainly decaying organic matter, whether it's branches or stumps or, you know, things like that in your soil. So it certainly should improve over time. And we see a lot more mushrooms with moisture. So the more you can reduce the watering of the lawn, I think it'll help. But as far as mushrooms, just mow them off and that would be my recommendation there.
This may be a little too early to talk about that, but what do you think, Sam, what's your theory or philosophy about fertilizing lawns? And not necessarily weed and feed, but what just regular fertilization?
Yeah. You know, for like your lower maintenance lawn programs, if you're just going to fertilize your lawn once a year, for example, I really like that early September timing, around Labor Day for that. If I were just to pick one, the best time of year to fertilize. In the spring of the year, the grasses are waking up on their own as temperatures warm up, and they tend to really produce what I would call a flush of growth in the spring. So I think, you know, holding back from some of these spring fertilizers until maybe Memorial Day would be kind of my ideal timing there. But if your lawn is really not growing very good and looking pretty unhealthy in the spring of the year, then you can push it along a little bit with fertilizers. But generally, I'm, you know, concerned about some of the environmental aspects and things like that. So I like to put the fertilizer down when the grass is most actively growing.
Good idea. Gary is calling from Maple Lake with a question. Gary, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I think it's 2 years ago, we planted a new ever-bearing strawberry plant. And if I remember correctly, it's like honey-eyed, honey-owed. And the first year, we were really impressed with them. Stems were high. The berries were high up on stems, and it didn't fall over. Well, last spring, they bloomed like crazy, set berries like crazy. The berries got about the size of my little finger, turned red and totally rubbery. And we basically didn't get any strawberries because the whole patch was like that. And I went to a couple places, nurseries, and they said it was lack of fertilizer, which I find a little hard to believe. Being an ex-farmer, I probably over-fertilize, if anything. Any idea what happened to those strawberries? Because the patch is there for this coming year again. I mean, there's new runners there for this year, so kind of curious to know if anybody's got any ideas as to what really happened.
Yeah, you know, it sounds to me like it could be a moisture issue, and I've seen strawberries just crack because they've gotten, you know, too much rain or not enough with their small and rubbery, maybe a little bit more moisture. But I'd like to direct you to our website because I think there's a great publication there on growing fruit, and that'll probably give you some more information on how to treat your crop going forward. So our website is extension.umn.edu/garden, and that'll direct you right to that source.
All right, tell you what, let's take a break. We have more show to come. Don't go away. Folks on the line, hang in there. And texters, that number is 81807. We'll be back with more of the Smart Garden here on CCO. Temperature reading 26 degrees. Don't forget, turn your clocks ahead 1 hour overnight tonight. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden show here on A3OWCCO. In studio with us, if you're just joining us, Kate Netwall, Master Gardener, and Sam Bauer, who is our turf expert from the University of Minnesota. Guys, we have callers and texters, and I know we always seem to run out of time. So let's see how many folks we can help out here. Diane's calling from Garden City. Diane, we're all listening here on CCO. What can we do for you? Hello, Diane. Okay, I don't know. I think we're losing the signal, Diane. Give us a call again. I think your cell may be out of range or something. Gloria is calling from Blaine with a question. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, I bought a house here, a vacant house, last year, and it had this huge yew plant, shrub, and it grew into the yard. And I took up half the front yard, and I hired a guy to come and chop the thing out. So the thing, they took it out, but the root system is so vast that it's into the yard, and there's no grass there. It's just a lacy surface root system. It's massive. How do I get rid of that, and who can I have come help me with it?
I think that's a really good question. I mean, unfortunately, it's going to be a labor-intensive, you know, type of situation. I'm not sure as far as contractors that would help you, you know, with that. Certainly, some of your tree care providers. I don't know, Kate, maybe a certified arborist or something would help with some of that.
Yeah, or a general landscape company. Oftentimes when we're moving shrubs like that, they'll have like a backhoe with a fork that can actually dig down and lift up that root system and try and get it all at once and then grade over that area and reseed.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think there are a lot of landscape folks that do other things. I mean, they do snow plowing. They do all sorts of things.
A full-service landscape.
I like that. That's a better term. Is it too late, Texter says, to trim an old oak tree? It's too big to get your arms around.
This is a good time to trim oak trees. If it's too big to get your arms around, just be very careful, and you'll probably want to hire a certified arborist to tend to something that large.
Oh, yes, definitely. 651-989-9226 or text is 81807. Texas has had an overgrown yew scrub that spread out into the yard. Had the yew removed, but the lacy root system still is intact.
Looks like the same phone call that we maybe just had there, right? So landscape contractor.
Yeah, and they can use a fork to kind of pull it out of the ground, yeah.
651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. Texas has so little growth on the length of a spruce tree branches except the ends. What's the chance that fertilizing will help this?
Well, fertilizing may help, but I think you've got a bigger issue, and that might be one of the fungus, like needle cast or something like that, that is actually causing the needles to fall off the branches. So I think you need to have that tree diagnosed by an arborist.
It's always a good idea.
Tree care company.
Yeah. When I need to water my grass, Sam Texter says, how long do I water for?
That's a good question.
It is.
So, the answer is it depends, I guess, whether you have an in-ground irrigation system or whether you're referring to, you know, the hose and like an oscillating sprinkler type of system. With in-ground systems, we see what I call, you know, precipitation rates. So that's the rate that the water is falling from the irrigation system, anywhere from a half inch per hour to 2.5 inches or 3 inches per hour. So for me to put a time frame on it is really tough because everyone's situation is a little different. But again, I'm actually just going to direct you to our webpage. It's turf.umn.edu. And about the third or fourth post down will be a short 6-minute video that we call Green Grass with Less Blue. And it talks about how you can measure the amount of water that your lawn is putting down. And it's a really good educational video. I think that'll help you out.
So we said at the top, the folks are anxious to get out there. Many folks are anxious to get out and work in their gardens and their lawns as well. I wanted to ask you, Sam, about weed and feed. I started to ask you this when we first sat down. But when do we start applying weed and feed if necessary?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are, you know, really two different categories of weed and feeds. One would be the feed indicates fertilizer. So they all have fertilizer in them. But the weed portion, we have spring weed and feeds. That would be a crabgrass preventer plus fertilizer. And then in the fall, we actually have weed and feeds that would be like a dandelion or a clover killer plus a fertilizer. So as far as the spring, we call them – rather than weed and feeds, we call them pre-emergent herbicides for crabgrass. The timing for that is when the soil temperatures get to, you know, just before they get to about 60 degrees or so. It's usually about early May or late April for us here in at least the Twin Cities area. But there are some great websites that'll help you out for timing that. One that I really like to use is called gddtracker.net. It's a growing degree day tracker from Michigan State University.
Very good. So going back to the phones, Wayne is calling from Hutch. Wayne, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good Good morning. I have two giant hibiscus plants. They're just gorgeous. I bought them last year. They're perennials. They bloomed wonderfully. When I bought them, I did repot them into 5-gallon containers, added a little shake and feed fertilizer and some compost, and they're just wonderful all summer long. I knew a lady that had one, and I said, now what do I do with it in the fall? She said, well, I just cut mine back, you know, down 4 inches above the pod and bring it inside in a dark, cool spot and wait till spring and then bring it back. My question is, when do I begin to bring it back? I have not added water or anything to them all winter, so they've been laying dormant. Do I, start gradually bringing them back with a little bit of water, and then once they do start to produce growth, should I add some more fertilizer, or how do I prepare them to set them out?
What do you think, guys?
Yeah, well, we're getting more daylight, so if you have a place in your home where you can bring it out and expose it to some daylight and start watering it, I think, with daylight savings times and our longer sun exposure, it's a good idea to bring it out, get it acclimated to the indoors and bringing it back to life. Once you start to see some leaf growing on it, then I do a half strength of fertilizer. And then when it's time to take it outside, you're going to want to take it out slowly. So initially you want to maybe put it in the garage for a few days and then maybe take it outside and have it in a shady spot for about a week or so that it can get acclimated to the outdoor conditions and also the sun exposure. So you don't sunburn the leaves on the plant.
Yeah. Texter says, I have a crabapple tree where the apples did not fall off in the fall. Will I get new blooms and new apples this year? What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, the plant breeders are growing a lot more apples that crab apples that have that what they call persistent fruit. I think you'll be surprised that there'll be a lot of birds that'll come and clean off that tree before spring.
Very good.
and they definitely will bloom again. They're bred for that.
Well, that's good news. Texas says, I am planning to grow sweet corn this year. I was told I should have my soil tested. How do I gather a sample, and where do I send it, and how much does it cost?
Yeah, a great place to send a soil sample is to our testing lab on the St. Paul campus. You can mail it in, or you can hand deliver it in person. We're actually right by the state fairgrounds there in kind of the Falcon Heights area. Your regular soil test is just $17, and that'll give you everything from your pH, your phosphorus potassium levels, your percentage of organic matter in the soil, and then your estimated soil texture as well. So for $17, it really goes a long way to try to determine what amendments you would need to add to your soil to grow some nice sweet corn.
So we have to wait a little bit before we can dig into that soil yet, right?
Right. But anytime you can get, some of the loose soil and ready to submit, you should be able to do that as long as the ground is unfrozen. But when you just type in soil test, University of Minnesota, it'll bring you right to the soil testing website. And there are great instructions on there on how to actually take the soil sample.
That's a great service. We have to run off. We're just almost out of time. Last year, Texas is during a prairie burn. The fire singed, slightly burned some large spruce trees. Would fertilizer help them recover? What do you think? That's a tough question. Tough to see.
I think once it's burned or singed, it's singed. I don't think that you're not going to have that come back. It's not. They don't regenerate their needles.
Okay. Well, speaking of coming back, we hope you both come back real soon and help us out again. It was great to see you both. Thanks for the last couple of weekends.
Well, thanks for having us.
It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks for
and that university website quickly is?
extension.umn.edu and the garden tab.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
In the Twin Cities, 2063. Get those home improvement questions ready. That's next hour.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.